I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What a moment for Lane Thomas, former Cardinal, who, by the way, in his first major league at-bat, hit a home run, and he hit a grand slam as well for the Cardinals. Joining us now is Tom Ackerman at the New Bold BMW Toyota Sports Desk. Lots to get to, including college football and the Blues, but let's start with the baseball playoffs and that moment yesterday, Tom.
Yeah, and a lot of former Cardinals out there, you know. There's a whole bunch. I mean, you've got Lane Thomas. You have Jack Flaherty starting today for the Dodgers. You have Tommy Edman, who is playing for the Dodgers. You got Harrison Bader out there for the Mets. And, you know, on and on it goes. There are many others. Luke Weaver's closing for the Yankees, et cetera. I mean, it's certainly a tough thing to watch for Cardinals fans when they have their former players out there doing good things. But at the same time, yeah, you feel good for them. I really liked Lane Thomas when he was here. I spent a little time with him on the Cardinals caravan. Very soft-spoken guy, extremely talented. Never really had the pathway to success, and this is kind of what the Cardinals are trying to do here, is open up these pathways to success for their players. You know, Lane Thomas is another example of a player that they really liked, but didn't have a spot cemented for him. And you know, obviously he went on to do great things, and a lot of them end up doing that. It's not like the Cardinals can't identify talent. They just don't put them in the right places and develop them, and that's why they're restructuring the whole deal. But, you know, for Thomas to do that in a postseason and knowing him as a young man and now as a major league veteran, I'm really excited for him. He gets that job. And the Guardians are really good. You know, they're the kind of the quiet team here that nobody's talking about. You got the Dodgers, who are boastful and, you know, extremely talented and very wealthy and a very, very high payroll. You got the Mets, who claim to be kind of like, they sort of frame themselves as like underdogs and all this stuff, but they have a high payroll too. They're New York, and they've been spending forever. Their roster maybe not as loaded as the Yankees roster, but pretty darn close. You got the Yankees, of course, who haven't been to the World Series since 2009, so a lot of pressure is on them, and they have marquee players like Judge and Soto, et cetera, Giancarlo Stanton. But the Guardians are an easy team to root for. They've not won the World Series since 1948. Wow. That is a long, long time ago, and that's the longest stretch, longest drought in all of baseball. So those Cleveland fans have been waiting a long time for this opportunity, and we'll see what they can do against the Yankees starting tomorrow in the Bronx.
Gonna have to break out my VHS tape of Major League before the playoffs.
Yeah, that's one of the great. I remember Tony La Russa telling me that is his all-time favorite baseball movie.
It's awesome.
And remembering when it came out and how much fun that movie was. Of course, people will make references to that all throughout this ALCS as well. But that's gonna be fun. And the Dodgers-Mets series is going to start tonight. Jack Flaherty, in fact, is going to take the ball, and we'll throw the first pitch at 7:15. And we'll see where that all goes. I mean, I thought that the Padres gave them all they could handle until games 4 and 5, when the Padres couldn't score a run. Not often that you see teams get shut out in the final two games of a series. The Cardinals did it to the Giants back in 87 in the NLCS, but rarely does it happen. But it happened here in this series, and the Padres just couldn't find an answer against a Dodgers team that, they dealt with some injuries. They are loaded, and they've got a ton of talent, and obviously the marquee player in Shohei Ohtani. So, I, on one hand, I think if you have two high-payroll teams, like let's say the Dodgers and Yankees make it to the World Series, I think some people will think that's not a good thing, and I completely understand that. But I do think that if baseball wants to grow its sport here in this country, I think it's growing globally. But if they want to capture the casual sports fan who thinks baseball's boring or doesn't have high-profile stars or the crowds are sleepy, just tune into the championship series and perhaps the World Series. If the Dodgers play the Yankees, it would be a monumental situation for MLB. They'll have monster ratings. They'll have a lot of people tuning in just to catch Ohtani and Judge, etc. So, you know, either way, I think it'll be a good series. But I believe that the best case scenario for baseball would be the Dodgers to face the Yankees. You'd have every morning show, you know, the Today Show and Good Morning America and CBS Mornings and everybody else talking about them. You'd have newspapers writing about them. It is a potentially huge situation for MLB if those two teams advance.
Yeah, many decades ago, it was the biggest rivalry in baseball, but they haven't played in the World Series since 1981. So, yeah, I think that would be a big moment for baseball. All right, let's switch to college football. Mizzou took care of business at UMass yesterday. That was pretty much expected. But Illinois had a lot of trouble with Purdue with a backup quarterback, but managed to pull it out in the end in a wild game that ended 50-49. What did you make of that game?
Well, I made of it that Purdue has really turned things around, at least for the moment, because they got pummeled last week and they really have not had a good year. And Illinois should put them away. They're a much better team. But I give Illinois credit for winning the ball game. You know, Altmyer's a good quarterback. The defense made the play it had to make in the end. And good teams find a way. And when I pull back and look at Illinois, you know, they are 5-1. I mean, they're 5-1. I mean, their one loss is to Penn State, who's going to end up being ranked third here when the new rankings come out today, because Ohio State lost and Penn State won and they're still undefeated. So that's not a bad loss. I mean, they won at Nebraska. I mean, so Illinois is looking good. I mean, they're finding ways to survive games. They have excelled this year, I thought, up until yesterday, in closing out games. They did not do that this time around, but they still won it. I mean, they won it in overtime, so good for them. And, you know, I'm a believer in Brett Bielema and what he does to build programs. He builds from the inside out, and I think that their foundation will be on the line, and so it's something to keep watching. Illinois' schedule, of course, when you look at the Big Ten, is going to be tough. I mean, they're going to have to go play Michigan next week. I think that'll be hyped. It's going to be on CBS. They'll have a huge 2:30 audience for that. But then they have to go to Oregon. They still have to go to Rutgers and Northwestern, and while those don't seem like tough opponents on the surface, Rutgers had been playing pretty well up until last week. Northwestern scorched Maryland yesterday. You have home games against Minnesota and Michigan State, but those are four very winnable games. The next two, though, are crucial to Illinois if it wants any shot at the college football playoff, Michigan and at Oregon.
Yeah, and as far as Mizzou goes, now they've got Auburn coming in, and that's followed.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Led by Alabama, they are obviously big teams, but Alabama maybe doesn't look so daunting. They almost lost to South Carolina yesterday, and they did lose to Vandy.
They did, and you know, I think that they probably will wake up now and start to play a lot better. I watched that game against South Carolina. Very surprising that Bama didn't rally back from a loss to Vanderbilt and just destroy South Carolina. Bama's got its own things to worry about here. They got to play at Tennessee next weekend. That is not going to be easy at all. Tennessee had a bit of a wake-up call. Florida came in there, gave them all they could handle, and they beat them in overtime. I think the game against Missouri at the start of the season, I thought that was a game that Missouri could win. Now I'm not so sure. I mean, I just don't know what to make of Missouri. I mean, that game showed me nothing yesterday except that Missouri's better than UMass. I mean, we all know that. I don't know. The status of Luther Burden is kind of up in the air. I know that they're saying that he's just sore, but they're not giving any official word on his injury until the SEC report comes out on Wednesday. So we'll see how he is. He got hurt in that game, hurt what looked to be his left shoulder. If they don't have Luther Burden, they're in huge trouble. But I think he should be okay from what I hear. But yeah, Bama has a Missouri game sandwiched between trips to Tennessee and LSU. They got to get their act together quickly. For Missouri, you know, I've felt like I just don't know what to make of them. I mean, I see Brady Cook having a step back in terms of his quarterback play. I think some of it has to do with his protection. But he's making some throws that aren't as good as last year. I think maybe part of that is they haven't established the running game as well as they did last year. They definitely didn't in the Texas A&M game. I really can't judge anything in that UMass game because of the competition. It's just a win on the score sheet, but it doesn't do anything for me in terms of how would they match up against. I mean, the rest of their schedule is Auburn, Alabama, Oklahoma, at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, and Arkansas. I mean, all of those teams are going to give you trouble. So they've got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, and after yesterday's results in the top 25, you have to say Texas looks to be the best team in college football. They trounced Oklahoma, who was ranked 18th in the Red River Rivalry. Who do you think is the second-best team right now in college football?
Yeah, that one was hard to judge because Oklahoma has so many injuries at receiver and their quarterback looks kind of inexperienced, and I just don't know how good they really are. But Texas looked great. I mean, Texas has an elite defense. They have just smashed everybody. They've never trailed this season. The second best team in the country to me is Ohio State, even though they lost to Oregon. It's now going to be Oregon. But, like, if I were to say just from top to bottom, who do I think has the second best roster in the country to Texas? It's Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State, that was a great win for Oregon yesterday. Really, really great win. That's a heck of a team. Almost unstoppable at times, and they beat them. So a toss-up between Ohio State and Oregon. I think Penn State's awfully good. I'd really like to see them, you know, how they go here moving forward. Georgia's been a little shaky. I don't know. I mean, you're going to have Georgia and Texas hooking up this weekend, so we'll learn a lot about those two. I can't put Bama in that top group right now, and I certainly can't put Tennessee or LSU or Ole Miss either. So it's really a toss-up between Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State. With Penn State, they're going to be number three, I think. Jumping, I think Ohio State may fall back to four, and Penn State gets elevated to three, which is rightfully so. They went across the country and won.
Well, we didn't have time to get to the Blues, but I'm assuming maybe you'll have something on that sports on a Sunday morning.
Well, we have the chairman and governor, Tom there. Stillman, on the show, so
there
we'll
you
get
go.
From the top dog himself what he has to say about the team. And their home opener is Tuesday, so that's pretty fun. And we also have on the show today Bernie Miklas. We have a great visit with Larry Hughes Jr., the outstanding guard for SLU. And as I mentioned, we're going to hear from Tom Stillman, Lutz Fan and Steel, and much more. It should be a fun show. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX.
All right, Tom, thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Sports on a Sunday morning coming up at 10 today, and then it ends at 11:30 because we have an NFL doubleheader headed your way on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.